This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
To the Row One Seat One podcast. This is Ben, aka Boston Nuga. Fun show this week. We have a young up and coming wrestler on the scene from the Atlanta area. His name is Damian Tangra. It's a really cool story. He's from the country of Bulgaria. Talk to us a little bit about growing up in Bulgaria, the southeastern scene down here, and trying out for the Bulgarian version of what is combined Big Brother / Survivor. So a really fun conversation with him. A little bit about the Place to Be Nation before we bring on Damian Tangra. Check out the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Store. Shop your favorite podcast logo on merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Go to tpublic.com and type in PTBW. On the network, Rory McNamara is back with Senior Video. He's joined by Chris Lacey to dive into WF World Tour 91. Greg Diener and Robert Silver return for part two of their three-part series, counting down the top 10 GWCW matches. Marty Sleaze, a dear friend of mine, is back on Pro Wrestling Love and has good old Will from Texas to talk about 80s hair metal. That is the most Marty Sleaze shit ever. On the newest NWA Saturday special, Scott and Dr. G recap the latest episode of NWA Power and discuss Del Wilkes and a wrestling con. Yes, a wrestling con. On the newest Croc and Roll, there's a Gangstar new series, Houston Layover, looking at the best of Paul Bosch's promotion. Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network. On the other quad of pods, Place to Be Pop Experience is all about pop culture and TV, movies, comics, trivia shows, and more. Jennifer Smith is in the Jenny position with her takes on pop culture and life. GT Reserve, Aaron George, and Chad Campbell have great shows on wrestling, comics, and more with a North-South Connection feed. Check out the history of WATNA and other great wrestling topics and takes. And Glenn and Scott Butler continue their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast. They try to enjoy things they love. Join our rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. And go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture. Our 2020 stretch project is the greatest NWA WCW wrestler of all time. Go to Facebook.com/GWCW. Check out Place to Be Nation each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bring you articles on the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown and Fox Report, Paulie's Perspective, and Matt's Disney Live Action Adventure. And if you're doing online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right side of Place to Be Nation's homepage or use placetobenation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon and helps us out with no cost to you. All right, on with the show. We'll be bringing on Damian Tangra. Please enjoy. I'm here with Damian Tangra, one of the really growing young talents on the Southeastern independent scene. Really fascinating guy and someone who I want to have on the show for a while. Damian, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ben. How's it going? I'm so happy and glad that you invited me to the show, and I'm really excited.
Well, it's good to have you on. Honestly, you're not just one of my favorite wrestlers over the last couple of years, but what I really appreciate you is as I knew you before you started working in Action, and you were always, always willing to help out, always, you know, someone who's, you know, really appreciates all aspects of being a wrestler. And a lot of guys don't appreciate that, but you are always willing, always helpful, never one to complain. And I think that attitude has really started to you know, really earn you bookings now, because I think everyone sees you as a really, you know, nice, agreeable guy. And I think that really helps, you know, in what you're trying to do right now. Would you agree?
I definitely agree with what you said. It's good to be humble. It's good to be helpful, of course. Sometimes in wrestling, you have to be able to stand up for yourself.
That makes sense.
Yes, most definitely. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're right. It has definitely helped me out so far in my career to kind of be helpful and at least try to, I don't know, do whatever is asked from me and try to be cool about it. But also there's moments where you have to stand up for yourself and you have to let people know that, okay, if you're kind, doesn't mean it should not be your weakness.
That makes complete sense.
It's definitely a strength. So, but I agree with what you said. Yes.
Well, you're well regarded as one of the rising talents on the scene and one of the better guys on the scene, and that's a good place to be. Trust me. Now, you are from Bulgaria. For people who don't necessarily know about Bulgaria, they probably know it's somewhere stuck on the map of Europe, you know, in the middle there. Tell me about growing up in Bulgaria, what the culture is like, what the people are like. How is it different and how is it similar to, you know, you're in Georgia now. I mean, what's the what are some of the things that that you miss, and what are some of the things you say, you know, I'm glad I live in Georgia.
I'm in Georgia now. That's a great question. Thank you for that question. Living, growing up in Bulgaria and living there, it's, as you said, very different. Even though I was a big fan of wrestling since my early teenage years, and I have been influenced by a lot of American shows and pop culture and music and all that. Still, when I first got into the States, actually was in Ohio, 2014, there's definitely a culture shock, not only the language, but also just how life is. I'm from a very small town in Bulgaria. It's called Tervel. I think the population is around 5,000 people, so pretty much you know everybody. Mm-hmm. And really, you don't need a car to go to places. You just walk, and from end to end, walking distance might be maybe an hour at most. And here, as you know, in Georgia and a lot of other states, you cannot really get by without a car.
Yeah, that, no one walks.
Yeah, that was a huge difference for me. And of course, I mean, back home you have a lot of smaller shops. Every corner has like, okay, you're looking for hardware things. Okay, this is the place to go. If you need something else, you gotta go to the other side of the town. But here, you go to Walmart, and there's everything. You can live in Walmart, pretty much. It's very convenient. There's definitely some very good things that I've gotten used to.
Now, one thing that we have in common, and a lot of the listening audience will have in common, is we were chatting earlier, Bulgaria in the winters can be a little harsh, can it not?
Yes, definitely. And I know you said that you're from Boston, so you can relate, most definitely.
Yeah. Was it a really snowy place, you know, in Bulgaria, or, you know, just really especially cold? You know, people are, you know, trying to paint a picture of the area in their head here. What should they expect, you know, just the atmosphere to be like?
Yeah, so we have four seasons. And actually, I know that you live in Tennessee right now. Mm-hmm. From all the states that I've been to, Tennessee reminds me the most of Bulgaria. With four seasons, winters can be bad, but it's not super bad all the time. But where I'm from, Tervel, my hometown, because it's a lot of plain fields, not as many hills and mountains, the wind was pretty bad. So whenever it will snow, it will just pile up big piles of snow, and the temperature will feel a lot colder than it actually is just because of the wind. And I know we talked about it a little bit ago. I told you how I don't know how many suplexes off the top of garages I took, or choke slams into big piles of snow.
That's the hallmark of every northern kid who grew up is doing wrestling moves under their friends in the snow, I think. So that's a universal trait, I guess.
You have to do it. I remember even if there was like a little puddle, if you can kind of break off kind of like the ice part and pretend that it's a glass, go hit somebody in the head with it. Don't try it now. But we'll act like it for the longest time. It was fun. One time, me and my best friend were on our way back from school. It took us maybe 15 minutes, just walking distance. We're going back. It took us 2 hours just because there was like a big pile of snow. We started throwing each other there, and by the time we went home, we were all wet and cold and all that.
So just a little bit about Bulgaria too. What are some hallmarks of Bulgarian culture? What are some of the foods that you guys enjoy? What, you know, tell me, you know, be the tourism board, you know, tell me why someone should go to Bulgaria.
Go visit Bulgaria. Go visit bulgaria.org. We're actually pretty famous in Europe for our tourist destinations. It's interesting because Bulgaria is a relatively small country, probably the size of I'll say maybe Ohio as a state. Sure. And we have a sea. It's called Black Sea. We have mountains. We have playing fields. We have a lot of historical sites because Bulgaria is a very old country. It was established in 681 AD. So during that time, there are a lot of really, really old buildings and castles and walls and all sorts of things and churches that you can visit, and they just remain the same. And it's pretty nice to see. And also it's a very good thing about Bulgaria, is especially if you live in Western Europe or in the States, it's very, very cheap compared to the life standards here. So that's another selling point.
Yeah, I was saying, like, you know, how is the, you know, the cost of living from there to here? You know, like, is it basic amenities are probably cheaper, but I can imagine, like, you know, getting, you know, American goods and things like that are probably a little more difficult.
Yes, yes. The big brands, especially, it's not difficult, but they're just more expensive. But for example, let's say my phone bill here is $45. Back home, my phone bill a month will be better than my phone bill here with all the internet speed and everything, and probably it will be maybe $7 or $8 a month.
That's awesome!
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Is it subsidized or is it, you know?
No, it's not subsidized. It's just that's the standard. Actually, internet connection is very fast. It's if I'm not mistaken, it's top 10 fastest in the world. I have no idea why.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah. For example, the phone bills are way cheaper. The internet bills are way cheaper. The rent is considerably cheaper. But that's compared to the lifestyle here. Mm-hmm. I would say maybe when I used to study there in Veliko Tarnovo, which is one of the it's not super expensive, but one of the little bit more expensive towns to live in. I think my rent monthly, let's say with the bills, was probably $220
a month.
Yeah.
Nowhere in America you can find half a trailer for $220. That's tremendous. Yeah.
And it was a very decent place. And it's a good place. I definitely recommend it if people can go and travel and see. It's people are friendly. They'll just try to get you drunk and just party with you. So it's good times, definitely.
What's the food like?
it's actually starting to get a very Americanized. Mm-hmm. Where you can grab a burger and hot dogs and fries and all that easily. But pretty much a lot of the restaurants have kind of like a home style kitchen, to where beans. There's a dish, one of my favorite dishes, called moussaka. It kind of looks like lasagna, but not exactly. It's very difficult to explain it without pictures.
Mm-hmm.
The Bulgarian food is amazing. Soup, salads.
That's great. I was thinking, I'm sure, because we talked a little bit earlier, all your family's still back there, right? You have come from a big family, or?
Yes. No, not a huge family. I'm the only child. My parents are still there. Nephews, uncle, all that. But yeah, they're still there, and they're very supportive of me chasing my dream. And it was, in the beginning, it was a little bit a hard sell to make and believe, all right, now I'm going to go chase my dream and try to be a wrestler in the States. And it definitely took him some time to get used to that, because, as I mentioned before, I was going to school for being a translator with English and Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And
your English is so good.
I mean, I'm trying. Thanks for that.
It's really great, honestly. Like, you speak it much better than I do, so.
No, I don't think so. I cannot do the Boston accent. I wish I could. But it was a very different idea for them to accept of me trying to be kind of like a, almost like having like an office job and being all set with, because Bulgaria has very good relationship with China. and they're investing a lot of resources into different programs in Bulgaria. And I definitely think that Chinese is the language of the future. Doesn't mean that everybody will speak it, but it's a good language to know. And I was going, and I was going for that. And it took him a little while for my parents to kind of accept the fact that I want to be a wrestler and give my dream a try and see how it goes. And I'm actually very happy that both of my parents are very, they're very open-minded to where they let me try. And they just told me, Noah, go ahead, try it. And if you fail, at least you know that you've tried. If you don't fail, good for you. I mean, we'll support you. And yeah, that was pretty cool of them.
That's great to hear. That's all you could possibly hope for, especially, you know, going to the other side of the world, basically. You know, the fact that your parents are, you know, fully 100% behind you, that's half the battle right there, you know?
Yes, I agree.
One question I had too was accessibility to wrestling there. I mean, obviously you guys had, you know, really fast internet, but, you know, were the regular television shows on, you know, Bulgarian television? You know, did you get Raw and SmackDown and things like that? You know, were there independent wrestling shows? What was your exposure to wrestling?
Okay, that's another great question, Ben. So I started watching wrestling, as I said, in my early teen years. And I think at least what I was watching was the last years of the Attitude Era, I think the 2000. I remember The Rock, Stone Cold, DX, Kane, The Undertaker. And, but now looking back, I'm sure we were getting the shows with maybe 2 or 3 months, delay.
Sure.
To where, let's say something happens today, there is a big match today. And then we find out about the big match 3 months later. But not everybody, but there's still a lot of people that watched it because it was on national TV for a little while. But then, you know how they say, don't try this at home, don't try this at school. some accidents started happening to where some people started getting hurt and they had to take it off. So that was kind of like a big problem. And then they moved wrestling to, and mainly WWE, to cable TV. And it had to be very late, I think 10 or 11 p.m. But then we'll get Raw, SmackDown. We also got the pay-per-views, too, which was pretty cool.
Just on cable? You didn't have to pay for them?
Yeah, just on cable, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
But we got them, I think, 2 months behind or a month behind. To where, now looking back, I think that WWE has that kind of deal with international TVs where even though Raw can be 2 or 3 hours, for international versions, it's like an hour or hour and a half. So they cut whatever they need to cut so that whatever they want to present is in that hour or hour and a half.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about it because I know they do like an edited version on Hulu here, but I didn't realize that was what they were doing for the international versions too. That's fascinating. So, obviously, you fell in love with wrestling, you know, as soon as you could, you know, chokeslam your friends in the snow and stuff like that.
I was taking the bumps. <I'm sorry.
laughs> So, it's like now. So, at what point did you decide, you know, this is a viable career path for me, this is something I want to do, you know, tell me about your love affair with wrestling.
Oh, okay. I think that I was either 17 or 18 when I started entertaining the idea of, is it really possible to become a wrestler? And how do I get to do it? How do I get to become a professional wrestler? And I started diving into, you have to go to a pro wrestling school. That blew my mind that you actually go to a pro wrestling school to do it. But then it made so much sense because, of course, you have to learn somewhere. And I started informing myself more and more about the ins and outs of what it takes to be a professional wrestler, just to start, maybe coming up with a character and all that. And I remember one day I was searching for wrestling schools, and I stumbled upon the WWA 4 in Atlanta, Georgia. And the thing that I liked about it was... Actually, it was a couple of things. First of all, it was very accessible price-wise. Also, the track record of the people that have graduated the school and went on and kind of became bigger names, it was a very good track record. And also, I think that I saw some of the matches, and everybody seemed like they were having fun. So that's how I decided to actually try to become a professional wrestler, starting from the WWA 4 in Atlanta, Georgia.
So you selected WWA 4 out of all the wrestling schools in the world. That's quite the endorsement of A.R. Fox and his training abilities and the school there and the graduates there. You picked it off the map, literally.
Yes, and I chose it from Bulgaria. How crazy is that?
That's absolutely wild. Yeah, you chose it from Bulgaria. I was going to say, like, why not a European wrestling school? But, I mean, WWE 4 has a sterling reputation, and I mean, I can see why, you know, even internationally it would be well known. So you came to America when?
The first time I came to America was in 2014, on the Students Brigade in Ohio. Because I was trying to find a job in Georgia, but I think there was some kind of storm, and all my interviews got canceled for Georgia. So I ended up in Ohio. Yeah, figured that out. It was
a lot of people end up in Ohio. Yeah, no, trust me. No. People don't go to Ohio, they end up in Ohio.
No, I love Ohio. I love Ohio. I really, really love it. It reminds me of Bulgaria a lot, but my goal has always been to somehow get to Georgia and at least experience like training at the WWE 4. And I don't know why, but I had that idea fixed in my head. And you know, sometimes when people say I just had a feeling and I went with it, it's kind of like one of those times. It's I cannot really explain it, but I got fixed on trying to go to WWE 4.
Yeah, that's great. So when did you start training WWE 4?
I believe in 2017 for the first time. Think I, because I was spending just my winters or a month or two out of the winter in Georgia and then going back to Ohio, because I had a good seasonal job there. I started 2017. I think I trained for a month, went back to Ohio, then came back the next winter, trained for 2 or 3 months in 2018, made my debut, in March. 2018, then went back again, then 2019, came back, wrestled the longest that I've wrestled, maybe 3 or 4 months, went back again in 2020, I moved to Georgia, and I was ready to take over the world, and the pandemic started.
Yeah, it threw a lot of wrenches into a lot of plans, I think you've actually been one of the wrestlers who's actually gotten a better reputation over the last 15, 16 months and actually really established themselves in the face of the pandemic. And that's really a testament to you. So when you started wrestling school, was it everything you imagined? What were the things you thought you were prepared for, and what were the things you were not prepared for?
That's not a great question, actually. I remember it was very overwhelming when I started.
Sure.
And one of my first thoughts in my head was that professional wrestling is a lot more physical than it actually looks on TV. And I was thinking, wow, that it not only does it hurt, but it hurts a lot. And for a second, there was a little doubt of, can I actually physically, am I going to be able to do it? And I was a little doubt there, but with A.R. Fox, the great thing is he makes sure that you're comfortable with anything that you're doing. And just because he's has such a unique style, a very innovative and hybrid style, he is able to transfer that confidence in his trainees no matter what they do. That's why from the WWE 4, you can see people like Alex Kane, who's known to suplex people, the suplex assassin, and he has been trained by A.R. Fox. You see people like Bobby Flacco, who does a lot of high-flying things, but also he's very technical as well. You see the Skulk, Austin Theory, Leon Ruff, a big variety of people that if you're a fan, you expect Fox to be training just high flyers, but that's not the case. He just trains people to be themselves and to be confident in what they like doing. And I think my second or third day, I had a training match with maybe me, Daniel Jordan, and Tommy Maserati versus Air Fox, Austin Theory, and Leo Murphy.
Not a bad first match.
No, it was just a training match. He asked me because I had some martial arts background, so I think I was moving okay in the ring. And then Austin and Fox just took care of me, and it was, now looking back, it's not the greatest match, but it's for whatever, first week experience, I think second or third day, I was like, okay, wow, that's that's pretty crazy. But he'll push you as long as you enjoy being pushed. That's the best way I can explain it.
You mentioned a lot of the talents that have come through there. Theory, Ruff, Alex Kane, AC Mack was there for a while, Alan Angels was there for a while. How do you guys rub off on each other and influence each other, as much as AR Fox influences you guys? I could see how, you know, Alex Kane's style might give a little bit to you, and your style might give a little bit to Alex Kane. Talk to me about the camaraderie and the influence among the students themselves.
Definitely, when we train at the A4, there's a big sense of, we're kind of like a big dysfunctional family, like the Adams wrestling family. But in the end of the day, everybody supports each other. And as you said, our styles kind of bleed into each other's styles a little bit. But the interesting part is sometimes I remember I'll go to one of our training shows that is usually on Thursday. And I might have some of the guys or the girls kind of presenting idea for me, just for me to keep it. And I also find myself sometimes presenting an idea for somebody else that maybe I was doing something before the show or whatever the case is, and I think of, oh, that's like a cool sequence or a cool move somebody else can use because it doesn't fit me. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go and present it to them, or they'll do the same thing to me. And it's kind of like we're pushing each other to be better. And in this way, everybody's stepping up their game instead of trying to politic our way into, I don't know, matches or championships or whatever the case is, wins and losses. No, we're trying to push each other, and it all comes from the top. It all comes from Ayla and Fox, and it's their way of teaching us. And I think it's, you can see that everybody enjoys just being in the ring. That translates very well.
Yeah, the absolute, you can always tell who's a WA4 student because the energy exhibited by them is very different, you know, and much more joyous than, like, you know, maybe someone at another school.
Yes, and it's, for example, I'll go, especially now, it really is becoming very, very busy. Every single time I go to training, there's new faces there, and that's great. That shows how much the interest it has picked up for the school. But for example, I remember a couple of weeks ago we had new students, and I think their first lesson it was just normal chaining things and how to move in the ring. But then we started doing ranas and some kind of cooler transitions, just because they were okay with doing it and practicing it. And then it became like almost a half match just in their first day.
that's throwing you in the fire, definitely.
Oh yeah, definitely, but in a very relaxed and fun way.
So, at what point do you feel, because I've seen you in action over the last few months. I've seen you you were at some of the WrestleMania weekend shows and stuff like that. And especially in the last 12 to 15 months, you really started to establish your name. At what point did you feel comfortable going outside the nest? And, you know, talk to me about some of the places that you've gone outside the nest to.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a very interesting thing that I'm about to say. But my first match was a singles match versus Kevin Canyon in a promotion called Wrestling for God. So when you debut outside of your school and you wrestle for God, everything after that is downhill. so It was a good career, but I made my debut outside of the school in Tennessee, Wrestling for God, and it was a cool experience. But as you said, it wasn't the most comfortable just because I'm not used to different locker rooms and different characters and all that, and it's normal. But maybe in the last year, I really got used to, and I enjoyed a lot, sharing the locker room with newer faces and trying to learn from everybody and also trying to be very social with whatever is going on in the locker room, trying to have fun. And I really enjoy Action's locker room because everybody there, I think they shared a very close mentality to the WWE 4. We're just trying to push each other to be better at our art. And it definitely, there's some rivalries, and you know that everybody's trying to step up, but it's in a very healthy way. Also, I have done a lot of paradigm shows. I enjoy their locker room a lot. It's very similar to the Action locker room with the way they handle their business. TWE is another great place. I've recently started going to New South in Alabama, and I'm excited for that because it's another great place.
They put on a real good show, yeah.
Yes, yes. And actually, just while we are recording the podcast, the show, one of my matches just got released for New South. It was a scramble match. And I just want to say I had so much fun of being part of that match and sharing the ring with my other opponents. And it was a great show. The production value is so good with New South, really.
Oh, yeah, their video stuff is unbelievable.
Yes, I'm very impressed. Also, I do some of the shows in Florida under the WWN. But it was great. I'm starting to really be more and more comfortable, and my confidence is an all-time high right now, and I'm happy about that.
How do you cater to like different fan subsets? I know that especially the last year there haven't been a lot of fans, but like I know that the fans at New South are very different than the fans at Action. You know, it's more, you know, more, and the fans at Paradigm are going to be a lot different than the fans at New South. How do you switch up your wrestling style to cater to who the fan base is and who's in the crowd, or do you?
I think that a good professional wrestler should be able to switch up their styles or maybe tweak it just a little bit so that they cater to the crowd that they're performing in front of. I think that's another great question. The Action audience is very, they're very passionate about wrestling, but also they're very patient to let the story be told in the ring. And I love that. You can really have a great match in Action and tell a really good story, and they'll let you kind of like take it slow with what you're trying to do in the ring. And when you start coming up with the bigger moves and whatever the case is, it's they're there for it. And that's great. With Paradigm, their crowd is used to a lot of more fast-paced wrestling. So the little nuances of the story might be not, they might not be, trying to look for the best word to describe it. They might not tolerate it at most, the most.
Mm-hmm.
So they love fast sequences and big moves and, of course, character work. And with New South, at least from my experience right now, they enjoy the character work a lot.
Yeah, that would be how I describe it too. Yeah, and then you know, TWE as well. You know, that's my home. That's my home promotion. What do you think of the crowd at TWE?
Oh, TWE is great. I made my debut there. I think last month. I've been so busy that my days blend in. But
it's yes, a good last problem month. To have.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I love that. Last month I wrestled Brett Eisen there, and what a way to be part of the show. But the crowd, they were so welcoming. They didn't know exactly what to expect of me. But by the end of the match, I was lucky because they were very appreciative, and they were actually saying, please come back. So next time, I don't know if I'll be there before that, but for now, the next time I'm supposed to be at GWE is against Daniel Maccabi on August 4th.
I'll be there, buddy. So, I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to that match.
That would be great. I'm very excited about it.
What do you know about Maccabi? Because he's maybe my favorite wrestler on the planet, and we could gush about him. But how are you preparing for a match like that? Because that's you face some really good wrestlers, and here's another really skilled person in Maccabi, who's regarded by some as the best wrestler in the world.
Yes, and rightfully so. He it's another interesting story too. In 2019, I was selected to be part of the Future Showcase presented by Action Wrestling, part of the SCI tournament, SCI Invitational in Tennessee. And I was part of the Future Showcase. And that year, Daniel Maccabi won the 2019 SCI. So I was there for that. And that I knew who he was even before that, but that really made me probably appreciate him even more. And also, it's kind of symbolic that the person that was supposed to be one of the future guys at that point is now going to face the person that won the entire tournament. I'm very excited about it. I've been studying him for a long, long time, even before I found out that we're going to have a match together. And I'm very excited. I know he's going to bring his best game, but so will the mad scientist, and I cannot wait for GWE.
Love to hear it. I will be front row, buddy. Can't wait. Cannot wait. It'll be the best. Completely switching gears here, and we'll preview SCI weekend and all that too. One thing you did recently was you actually went back to Bulgaria. Talk about why, because I think that it's a really funny, fascinating story.
Yes, that's a great story. It was a very secretive because I auditioned for a reality show that is called The Farm, and it is a mixture between Big Brother and Survivor. So it's a very Bulgarianized, and pretty much you go into the show, you build your own house. Then you build a farm, you take care of the animals, but in the process of building the house and doing all the everyday tasks, the people that get to be in the show every week or bi-weekly, they get eliminated, but they get eliminated through games. So that's where the Survivor kind of likeness comes into play. And as I said, it's very Bulgarianized, a lot of questions and games about Bulgarian culture, history, language, whatever it may be. But I auditioned for that online here from in the States as a joke. I did not expect anything out of it. Then they called me back. They told me, well, we liked you and we would like you to come to the next stage of auditioning. And the lady was super polite. She told me the next stage is in April. And back then it was whatever, February or March. So I look at my calendar. And for some reason, I'm thinking next year, April. And then it was like in 30 days. So they're very secretive, and I was not supposed to share any of that, but it's all over now, so it doesn't really impact me. And I went back home, I auditioned one more time. They liked me a lot. Wrestling actually played a huge part of my audition because that was, I think, the thing that made me stand out from all the rest, because as far as I know, it's the only wrestlers that are Bulgarian that exist right now in the world are me, Miro, and in Florida, training under Gangrel, there's Metodi, Meto, but he's still in training. But I'm just aware of three of us from Bulgaria, and that kind of made me stand out from everybody else. So I got approved on that audition. I went to a different stage, and right before the final stage of auditioning, they cut me. I don't know why, they don't tell you why. They're looking for different characters to fit the, I guess, their psychology models they're looking for or whatever.
You're probably too nice and polite. That's the problem.
Right. But the funny thing is, too, we were playing games. We're kind of like emulating the show. And I got into arguments with some of the people. but there were very there were arguments where I'll leave them kind of like I'll they will fight their own word. They'll say something and then arguing with me. In the end of the day, they'll realize that, oh wow, they're kind of like now they're saying something against themselves. So I don't know. I was trying to show so many different sides, being polite, being nice, being a little bit aggressive, impatient, but it didn't work out. And whatever, it's a an opportunity that I'm glad that I took. I'm not unhappy that it didn't happen, because right now a lot of other opportunities are being fulfilled because the show did not happen. So
I'm gonna say, so you know, you're back in the States now. I mean, I saw you wrestle last week. I mean, you just, I mean, you're getting progressively better with every single match too. And you can't say that about every guy, but every time I see you, you're getting leaps and bounds better. Where are some other opportunities that you have coming up where you can even further improve?
No, I already did the UWFI middleweight tournament for Paradigm. But they are just recently started to release the matches. And this Wednesday, I have a match against Brandon Williams will get released. The Mad okay. Scientist versus the Locksmith, part two.
Love the first one, bud. I love the first one.
Yes, first one. First one was traditional pro wrestling rules. The second one is UWFI, which is more of a shoot style. So it was definitely very interesting. And I think that people will be very happy with that one. So Paradigm is a place that I got a chance to perform. And in the future, I'll be performing there as well. New South is a promotion that I'm very excited to work with because there the talent is so good and there's so many matches that I can think of on top of my head. And I'm very excited to work there. Action, of course, as you know.
You're a mainstay there now.
Yes, yes. It took me a long time, but I finally did it. but in August, it will be the good hand consisted of Kevin Ryan and Shook D versus the mad scientist Damon Tangra and a partner of my choosing, which I'm not going to reveal who it was, but I can tell you that I've made a phone call and the person has agreed to be my partner, and I'm very excited. Whenever the time comes, I'll share the news, but I want to catch the good hand off guard, and we're going to blow up Tyrone's building's roof. It's going to be crazy.
Blow up the rec center, baby.
Blow it up.
Get the library, too. Yeah,
exactly. With the library.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Action Wrestling, tell them about the locker room. What is the locker room?
Oh, the locker room is a library. And actually, when you go, and if you arrive early, the library is still functional, so they're still open, so you can't really be very loud, so you have to change and do all that in complete silence.
That's tremendous. So one last thing, the name Tangra, that has a special meaning to you in Bulgaria. Talk to me about what Tangra means.
Okay. I thank you for that question too. So Tangra is the name of an old Bulgarian god. It was the god of the sky, very similar to Zeus from the Greek mythology. And before the Bulgarians became Christians, they were kind of like barbarians. So they believed in a lot of different gods, and Tangra was the superior god. So I chose that name to be part of my wrestling character, because first of all, I think it sounds good. And actually, listening to J.K. Rowling from the Harry Potter series, the author of Harry Potter, she says that names with a G and R can be very good bad people names.
Interesting.
Yes, but also the first name Damien doesn't have G and R, so the first name can be a good person name, but the last name can be like a bad person name. So I thought it's like a unique combination of both names, and it kind of gives me kind of makes me proud of my heritage and where I come from, and also translating that to the world of professional wrestling, borrowing some things from Bulgarian or Slavic mythology. I think it hasn't been done in professional wrestling, in the professional wrestling yet, and I'm very happy to be able to do that. And it's I have been receiving some very good messages and very motivational things from people back home in Bulgaria. Just random people messaging me about how proud they feel that there's somebody kind of like representing them from a small town and all that. So that it's very, very cool, very touching, very motivating.
Well, Damien, we are also very proud of the progress you've made. You are one of my favorite wrestlers to watch already, and I want nothing but absolute success for you. How can people find you and book you?
Oh, nice. That's the best question of all. So, check this out. Just because my name, in the beginning when I came to the States, I thought my name is so weird, nobody can pronounce it. But right now, it's a huge plus because you can follow Damien Tanga. It's D-A-M-Y-A-N-T-A-N-G-R-A, Damien Tanga, on all social media. That's my handle, Damien Tanga. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok if you want to watch my cats. I'm on Twitter. I'm on – I even have a cameo, but I – no, nothing yet, but I'll develop that in time. Also on Patreon, I have a Patreon page where I every week I upload videos talking about my upcoming matches and sharing some behind-the-scenes stories, footage, commentary about my matches that have already happened. Again, I'm Damien Tanger on Patreon. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Again, Damien Tanger on YouTube. I'm everywhere, Damien Tanger. Please follow me, subscribe to me, leave a like, comment.
Your Twitter will be linked in the show as well, but Damien, we're just real excited to have you as part of our scene here, and I see really big things for you, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ben. I really enjoyed our conversation. Thanks so much.
Thank you, man.